This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Camelia Williams is a proud and loving Georgia mother of five, and things take a dark turn when she reports to family a weirdo following her around.
Why was an illegal migrant set free, to walk amongst us, then to become state's suspect number one in the brutal choking death of a mom of five leaving one of her favorite stores? First of all, listen to this.
Cobb County, Georgia police and EMTs respond to a 911 call with reports of an unconscious person just before 8:30 a.m. What they find is a woman's body in a camellia bush, her face partially covered by her disheveled sweater. Police say she's been dead for several hours, and it appears there was a struggle. The woman is identified as Camelia Williams, a mother of five. Camelia's family in Louisiana say she wouldn't hurt a fly and could hold a conversation with anyone.
Justice tonight for Camelia. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now, but straight out to Crime Stories reporter Dave Mack joining us at the scene. Dave, first of all, explain to the viewers where you are right now.
Right now, we are in Cobb County, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta on Catmel Road, which is a fairly active road, a lot of homes. And as you can see directly behind me right here, Nancy, the body of Camelia Williams was found behind that house in a wooded area. That's where we're located right this minute.
You know what really strikes me, Dave Mack, is that people that have never had any, their lives have not been touched by violent crime, and God bless them. I don't want their lives touched by violent crime. They perceive that murder, rape, all sorts of violent crime occurs to somebody else, somewhere else, nowhere near them, and they're safe. And I get it. I'd like to think that too, but I know differently, because look at where you are. That is a beautiful suburb, a tree-lined neighborhood where you think nothing could go wrong. But it did go wrong, Dave Mack.
Horribly wrong. Nancy, just to give you an idea, I actually reached out to one of the neighbors here as I was setting things up and talked to him for a minute, and he was able to tell me exactly what took place and where it happened. This is a community where they know one another. They can walk to the store from here. And in this particular, Camelia was saying, I've got somebody that's eyeballing me. You know, this is an area where you don't expect anything like that at all, Nancy. This is a place where we would all like to live. You realize, great school system. You're 10 minutes from everything. It's a very convenient suburb, beautiful homes. It's just an amazing moment to realize nobody, and I mean this, Nancy, nobody's safe.
You know, we are looking at a lot of funny poses from Camelia, and from what I've been told, what I have learned, she was the light of everybody's life. You know that person when they walk in the room, you want to talk to them, you want to be with them. Five children call her mom. Look at her posing in that pink hat. And I'm thinking about five children now without a mom. Joining me right now, her brothers speaking on her behalf, Tony and Arsene Williams. Tony, Arsene, thank you for being with us, sirs. Tony, when did you learn that your sister had been killed?
It was that day about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock that morning, when my brother came up to me and told me.
When you first learned, Tony, that Camelia was dead, did you have any idea that she had been murdered? I mean, did you think, oh, she was in a car accident? She had a heart attack?
Yeah, that kind of crossed my mind. Not murder, but she might have had a brain aneurysm, a heart attack, or natural.
You know, joining me, Cheryl McCollum, founder, director, Cold Case Research Institute, host of a hit new podcast, Zone 7. Cheryl, I was just showing, I don't know if you can see your monitor, but I was just showing a kind of a memorial, a makeshift memorial to Camelia. There it is. And it just breaks my heart, because this is what is left of her. Five children, Cheryl. You have two. I have two. And I remember a few times I've had to go under the knife. And the last thing I think is, God help me get through this, to raise the twins. Don't leave them without a mother. We got five children. This woman has given birth five times and is raising these children. And you know, you hear nothing about her case. Nothing.
Nothing.
I don't get it. When you think all that's left is a makeshift memorial of some pictures and some candles, they got the rest of their lives, Cheryl, to live with life without mommy. They're sentenced to life without their mother.
You are exactly right, Nancy. And the ripple effect of this horrific crime is not only their life, but you're hearing her brothers, her family, her friends, her neighbors, her loved ones that reach far beyond Georgia. This is something that every one of them is going to have to live with.
Guys, we are bringing you, it's not, I hate to even call it a story, because it's real. It's not a story. A mother of five leaving her favorite store, one of her favorite stores, and she's been worried because some guy she thinks has been following her. And lo and behold, her worst nightmare comes true. Joining me, in addition to Mr. Tony Williams, this is Camelia's brother, her other brother, Arsene Williams. Mr. Williams, thank you for being with us. When did you learn that Camelia was dead?
The morning, Thursday morning when they found her body in the bushes.
Oh, just saying it like that, found her body in the bushes. Daryl Cohen joining me, former felony prosecutor in the same district attorney's office where I practiced for a decade, now defense attorney. You can find him at Cohen, Cooper, Estep, and Allen. Daryl, thank you for being with us. You and I prosecuted and investigated. I mean, neither one of us ever went in front of a jury before we investigated the case ourselves, going to the crime scene, speaking to all the witnesses, going to the crime lab, the morgue, you name it. Daryl Cohen, that's an added layer, in my mind, of brutality. To murder a mother of five and then leave her body, just leave it in the bushes. You remember how Julie Love, remember the Julie Love murder case? She went missing while jogging and was missing for the longest time. And then when the killer's girlfriend was living in fear, she finally coughed up. Julie Love's body, what was left of it, was near a trash dump, as I recall, way out in the outskirts of Fulton County. The added indignity of leaving the body out in the bushes for her children to grow up thinking mommy was left dead in the bushes. I mean, I know that's not probative, Daryl Cohen, but I guarantee you, it will mean something to a jury.
Nancy, who cares whether it's probative or not? What I care about and the jury cares about is what happened. It may or may not be, quote, evidence, but it certainly isn't not evidence. In other words, once heard, once seen, once felt, it goes to the jury. This is unbelievable. Yes, I remember Julie Love, and I remember who they thought killed her, and they were so wrong, and later they found the right murderer. And here, it's one of the worst examples of someone who doesn't care. I am going to do what I want. If I have to kill, so what? And I'll just leave her here because I'm out of here. It's horrible.
Unfathomable. You know, Arsene Williams joining us. This is Camelia's brother along with Tony. And I'm going to get into the facts as we know them right now. And remember, this illegal migrant is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Arsene, you stated that you learned about your sister's death. Did you immediately presume that it must be an accident or natural causes, as Tony did? Or, I mean, murder wouldn't have even crossed my mind to start with.
I thought it was natural causes. I really did. But then when I found out that she was murdered, that just hit me more different than accidental death. That was 100% murder. He stalked her. He waited for her to be by herself and did what he did.
You are hearing Tony and Arsene Williams speaking on behalf of their sister. They came from a large family. Camille had five children that she was helping raise, giving it her all, an incredibly devoted mother. That's all ended, according to police, thanks to an illegal immigrant that had been set free to walk amongst us and then murder a mother of five. Listen.
Just why? She would have, whatever you wanted out of her purse, she would have given it to you. Why? That's my question. I got a little bit of mixed emotions. I don't know whether to be angry, sad, hurt. I'm very confused.
You are hearing from one of Camellia's daughters. Angry, sad, confused. Whatever they wanted out of her purse, she would have given it to them. And you are hearing from one of her daughters, from our friends at Atlanta News First. I want to circle back to how her body was found. I find this very interesting. Joining me at the scene is Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Dave Mack, confirm this, if it's correct, that her face was partially covered by her own disheveled sweater. And I've got a lot of questions, but is that correct?
That is correct, Nancy.
Okay, that's telling me a lot right there, Dave Mack. Number one, we are told that nothing was stolen. We don't know what motive there may have been. But right there, if her sweater was covering her face, that means either her sweater was stripped off of her or it was pulled up over her head, right?
Exactly. And the whole point of putting her behind the house in the bushes, trying to hide her body, but also it tells us a lot about what happened at the end as he's trying to get away. He's got her covered up. He's making sure he doesn't have to see her face and that nobody else can.
You know what, Dave Mack? I have accused you quite often of being an MD of the psychiatric variety because what you just said is right, okay? And I don't need an MD, a medical degree. Sorry, Dr. Coyne and Dr. Angela Arnold. I don't need an MD to tell me that, a medical degree. Cheryl McCollum, how many times have we seen a murder victim's face covered? Again, I'm not a shrink. I don't know the answer to that, but I know it to be true anecdotally. We see it over and over and over. And I think Dave Mack is right.
I think Dave's onto something. I mean, we've all had training at the police academy that says if they cover the face, it's because they don't want the person looking at them and they can't tolerate to look at the person while they're doing this horrible, violent crime to them. Again, he went to the extent of taking her to another location and attempting to hide what he had done by hiding her body.
Joining us again, Arsene Williams. This is Camellia's brother. You were saying something, Mr. Williams?
Yes. How did he murder my sister and wanted to do it as quick and fast as possible, but when he stayed with the body for several hours after the fact that he murdered her? How did he try to do it quick and possible and get away when he stayed
there? Okay, hold on. You're telling me something new, Arsene. I did not know that he stayed with her body for a period of time. Tell me what you have learned.
2 hours. He stayed there for 2 or 3 hours after she was murdered. After he killed her, he stayed with her body in those bushes and sexually assaulted her.
Okay. That is new evidence right there. Arsene, are you telling me that you believe your sister was sex assaulted after her death?
Yes.
We know that for a fact.
How do you know that for a fact?
Because my niece told me that he was with the body after he killed her and stayed with the body for several hours after and sexually assaulted her and had the audacity to go back Wednesday and check and see if the body was still there. So my sister was killed Tuesday night. He went back Wednesday to see if the body was there. And then Thursday morning at 8:30 is when they found her, because at 9:15, one of my sisters called me and told me they found her dead in the bushes.
A neighbor makes a troubling discovery in some nearby bushes only days after Camelia Williams raises alarm about a strange man following her.
Joining us, an all-star panel to make sense of what we're learning, an illegal migrant is set free, comes into our country, then he's detained, then he's set free, only to go out and allegedly murder a mother of five. And I got to tell you, I have pored over her photos, and she looks funny and sassy and full of life. She makes funny poses for the camera. She has a million pictures of her feeding her little babies. You know, a lot of moms wouldn't be caught on camera holding on to their baby without their hair fixed and their face fixed. Not this mom. She was all about being a mom. Who is Camelia?
Camelia Williams grows up in Louisiana, the youngest of 13 siblings. Camelia is attached at the hip with her brother Lloyd, who says there is no one more kind or generous than Camelia. Camelia becomes a mother to five wonderful children. Williams strikes out on her own and moves to Marietta, Georgia, just outside Metro Atlanta. Camelia is happily settled into the area, becoming close friends with neighbors.
She was always smiling. Anywhere you seen Camelia, she smiled. Whether it was with her smile or with her eyes lit up a room when she walked in.
That is Camelia's niece, Danielle. And that's from our friends at 11 Alive. Straight back out to Dave Mack joining us at the scene. Dave Mack, are police confirming what Arsene and Tony Williams have learned? Because they haven't released that yet.
No, it has not been released yet, and I haven't had a chance to get it confirmed yet, Nancy. I believe that they know a lot more about the story than we do at this point. But the police, you know how this works. They have to hold back information from the public, Nancy. Sometimes it's because they still have to go to trial. They still have to work this case all the way through. And information, like the Williams brothers were just sharing, is powerful information that they will use. It indicates so many things about the possible suspect here, as well as what happened with the victim. So, yeah, they have not confirmed that directly to us yet. Doesn't mean they didn't tell the Williams brothers a lot of information that we're not privy to yet.
To Tony and Arsene Williams, Camelia's brothers, joining us, speaking out on her behalf, her children at this point having a really hard time even enunciating what has happened to their mother. Back to Arsene and Tony Williams. Arsene, you learned that your sister was followed by this guy when your sister left the store. She had been worried about being stalked by someone, but she didn't know the guy. She had seen him, but didn't know who he was. When did you learn that your sister was murdered and then the perp stayed with her dead body and sex assaulted her dead body?
The day they found her body, my sister called me and told me that my baby sister was found dead.
Tony, when did you learn your sister had been sex assaulted by the killer after her death?
Saturday or Sunday.
It was about when I found out about it.
You know, to Daryl Cohen joining us, a veteran trial lawyer, former prosecutor, now defense attorney, when a jury hears that, they're going to do a backflip. That after he allegedly, yes, I know he's innocent until proven guilty, after he allegedly follows her as she leaves the store, he then drags her off to the bushes, murders her, and then sex assaults her, Daryl Cohen. There's a special hell waiting for this guy, a very, very special hell. And he's going to have plenty of time to talk this over with Satan.
Nancy, he is the epitome of what all of us fear. He's the epitome of what bad people do. No, not. I said bad, horrible people do. When a jury hears this testimony, they are going to be literally on the edge of their seat, following every move of the witness who was testifying from the stand. It is not something they could ever forget. And I'm not talking about just the trial. I'm talking about for the entire life. Look, you know I have three daughters. I tell them always, keep your head on a swivel. because it doesn't matter how old you are, where you are. You point out what a wonderful community this is, what a wonderful neighborhood this is. It's people that commit crimes that you have to be aware of, not where you are, but how you are.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Joining me right now, special guest Dr. Thomas Coyne, the Chief Medical Examiner, District 2 Medical Examiner's Office, State of Florida. He is a neuropathologist, a toxicologist, a forensic pathologist, and more. Dr. Coyne, thank you for being with us. Dr. Coyne, is there a way medically for the medical examiner to prove, not by video, not by a statement, not by a witness, can we prove forensically that Camellia was sex assaulted post-mortem?
Yes, you can differentiate amongst post-mortem and anti-mortem injury. And we can do so because, you know, our bodies, when we're injured, I'm sure many of us have had a cut or a scratch. When you're alive, your body reacts to the injury. So that injury may bleed. It may become a little red, swollen, warm. Those processes don't happen after death. And so we can look at the body itself, see the tissue, see if there's what we call vital reaction, redness, swelling, any changes of that nature. And then we can also take sections to look under the microscope and see if whether or not there's any active bleeding into the tissue. So yes, we can differentiate from post-mortem and anti-mortem injuries.
When you say, Dr. Coyne, that you can take sections and look at sections under a microscope to determine if there was any, quote, reaction, I'm taking that to mean that you take human tissue, such as from the vagina, from the anus, and you determine if there was any bleeding. You are referring to a reaction. And I assume that you mean bruising or bleeding as being a reaction, because once you're dead and your heart is no longer pumping, you don't bleed and you don't bruise.
That's correct. So we'll look at the actual vagina and we'll look at the anus, and we'll look at the mucosal tissue to see if there are any injuries that we can see with our eyes first. So are there any abrasions or abraded tissue, bleeding, scratches of that nature, something that shows that there was mechanical trauma to that tissue. And then we can take a biopsy, take that actual tissue and have it made into a microscopic slide. And we can look under the microscope and we can see if whether or not there was actual bleeding into that tissue.
Now, another question, Dr. Coyne, and I don't want to go too far into the bushes here, but what about the possibility that she was sex assaulted post-mortem? Would there have to be reaction, in other words, bleeding or bruising? And if not, in other words, if her vagina or anus did not bleed or bruise, could you still tell whether the sex assault was post-mortem?
Yes, because you can actually see the mechanical changes to the tissue. So if you have mechanical trauma to a deceased person, you may have sloughing off of that surface tissue, and you can actually see the tearing under the microscope. But what you won't see is the vital reaction or the response of the body to the injury. So you'll see the mechanical changes to the tissue, but you won't see the reaction of the body to that mechanical change.
Guys, the reason I am grilling Dr. Thomas Coyne about how we can tell exactly what happened and when it happened to our victim, Camellia, mother of five, in those bushes in this tree-lined neighborhood, for Pete's sake, is because I want to prove beyond a reasonable doubt what exactly happened, when it happened, how it happened. But guess what? I've got the icing on the cake. The icing on the cake for a prosecutor. I don't have just Dr. Thomas Coyne telling me that he can look at Camellia's body and determine was she sex assaulted after she was murdered. Guess what? We've got a video.
Detectives with the Cobb County Police Department spend 2 days searching the neighborhood where Camellia's body was discovered. Investigators block off the street while searching for evidence and knock on neighbors' doors, searching for witnesses and surveillance footage. A neighbor across the street from the home where Camellia was found turns over Ring doorbell footage, and police find the entire attack was caught on video. It shows Camellia closely followed by a man. When Williams turns to tell the man to leave her alone, he rushes her.
A body is discovered in the bushes in Cobb County, Georgia, and police have a suspect in their sights, an undocumented migrant from Honduras.
In addition to an all-star panel to make sense of what we are learning about the murder and sex assault of a mother of five by an illegal migrant who got into our country and then slipped through the fingers of the system, walked free, and then, according to police, murders a mother of five, minding her own business, leaving the store. Joining me, Dave Mack, on the scene, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Dave Mack, we're hearing about Ring video. You know, door cam. Where would that video be? And you have totally canvassed the neighborhood. You've looked at everything. So is a neighbor's front door, I'm just taking it, that had a bird's eye view of the bushes where her body was found?
Well, not the bushes where her body was found, Nancy, but they had a bird's eye view of everything that transpired, the interaction between the two. You know, one thing I failed to mention, this neighborhood has a sidewalk, Nancy. You know, that means you've got a lot of residential walking. This is something that tells you I'm in a neighborhood where I can get out and walk around. That's what's going on here. So you've got Ring doorbell right here. As I mentioned earlier, it was right behind this house, right directly behind there. So they were able to pick up, the Ring doorbell was able to pick up right here where I'm standing right now. This is where she's walking when she gets rushed by the suspect. He then drags her over behind the house and in the woods. That's where he allegedly strangles and then smothers her, placing his knees on, with all of his weight on her neck.
My stars. I'm just thinking about this mom of five, what was going through her mind when she was fighting for her life. And Dave Mack, let's take Dave Mack in full, please. So she's walking along the sidewalk where you're standing, Dave. He rushes her, then in broad daylight, for Pete's sake, drags her across the street, through the bushes, down to where he murdered her?
That's what we're talking about. From the Ring doorbell camera on one side of the street, right here, as I'm showing you, that's the house, and it's directly behind the house. You've got a clear line of sight. You've got, I mean, not line of sight, but a clear pathway to go from right here to behind the house. And by the way, once you're behind the house and in the woods, Nancy, you've got some privacy there. It's not wide open back over there. Wide open right here, not so much back there.
Because I knew at the get-go, Cheryl McCollum, when we first learned, Cheryl, founder, director of Cold Case Research Institute, forensic expert, star of a podcast, Zone 7. Cheryl, when I learned that her face was covered by her sweater, I knew her sweater was either removed from her body or pulled up. For what reason would you expose a lady's breasts other than a sex assault? Now the brothers are seen, and Tony are telling me she was sex assaulted post-mortem after death. Dr. Coyne telling me that can be proved if the evidence is there. Cheryl, think about it. I mean, it's enough to make you stay home and hide under the bed. This lady leaving the store, minding her own business. What do you believe she was thinking about as she was being dragged literally off the sidewalk, across the street, through the bushes, through a yard, into a heavily wooded area? I mean, I want to just lock the children up and throw away the key. And this is after this guy comes to our country. To avail himself of all the blessings that we have. And that's fine. But he slips through the cracks, Cheryl, walking free. And he murders this mother of five. I mean, post-mortem sex attack? Five children? Broad daylight? Can it get any worse, Cheryl?
Yes, Nancy, this person stalked her. He waited. Now, this is where you really need to focus on this crime. He didn't just see her and attack her. He had stalked her and he waited. He waited until she was alone. I believe he had the secondary crime scene planned. He knew as soon as she was by her, walked toward that area, he knew where he was going to take her already. This reminds me a lot of Lake and Riley. That person laid in wait and he knew exactly where he was going to push that victim, also into a wooded area where he would not be seen. This is what we call a soft target. So when you say it's in broad daylight, it was in broad daylight without a weapon. because he knew he didn't need one.
Now, juries that have been watching way too much TV and movies expect DNA. They even expect a video. Well, guess what? We've got a video. Listen.
The video shows the man wrapping Camelia in a chokehold and dragging her to bushes in front of a home on Pat Mill Road. When Camelia goes limp, the man then puts both knees on Camelia's neck and kneels there for several minutes, preventing Camelia from breathing. The young man then casually walks away from the scene.
Walks away from the scene after putting both knees on her neck. But it doesn't end there, according to Camelia's brothers. He then returns to sex assault her body. To Arsene and Tony Williams, Camelia's brothers, joining us. Her children must be just reeling, and now they have to live with the thought that their mother was dragged across the street and into the bushes and murdered. When did you discover, Tony Williams, that there was actual video of part of the attack?
Just now.
Well, that's our scene talking. I knew about the video right almost a week ago. But you don't want to speculate until actually all the facts come out.
Tony, I got a question for you. How are her children doing?
They're doing okay, but they're doing for what they expected they're going through right now. You know, you don't expect to bury your mom, your sister, at an early age.
They still think it's a bad dream.
They just still think it's a bad dream. But you said something, Nancy, a little while ago, that he slipped through the cracks when he came in 2021. He didn't slip through the cracks. The last administration gave him that opportunity to slip through the cracks because they gave him a court date to go to court. And he didn't show up.
You know what? You are so right. Slipping through the cracks doesn't do it justice. Listen.
Hector Sagastume travels from Honduras to the U.S. and tries to enter the country illegally in March 2021. According to the Department of Homeland Security, Sagastume is arrested by Border Patrol, but later released into the country and given notice to appear for an immigration hearing at a later date. More than 2 years later, Sagastume does not show up for his July 11th, 2023 hearing, and a judge orders him removed from the U.S. and deported to Honduras. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement say they have placed a detainer on Sagastume, 21, pending the results of his trial and sentencing.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Clark County 911. Hello, this is Clark County 911. Hello, Clark County 911. Can anyone hear me?
Looks like blunt force trauma to the head or shirt has been removed above her breast.
Not far from where the body of Camelia is found, a short ride away is where co-ed Lakin Riley was found sex assaulted and murdered. When we just played that 911 call where you hear the Clark County 911 dispatch saying, hey, is anybody there? Anybody there? What she's hearing is Lakin Riley being murdered. Lakin tries to call 911. This beautiful nursing student tries to call 911. And she can't speak. She is being murdered again by an illegal immigrant, a member of a violent gang that, like in the current case, escapes justice, is actually apprehended in New York on another violation. An illegal immigrant apprehended in New York City on another violation and walks free, only to murder Lakin. Listen.
Her encounter with him was long. Her fight with him was fierce. And that is what the Garmin data shows. And once her heart stops at 9:28 a.m., there's no more movement from her Garmin.
Abara was lying in wait and sexually assaulted and killed Lake and Riley. But what led them to the apartment is they found that evidence in the dumpster, and they were getting tips from people about illegal immigrants living there. His brother working at the cafeteria, the dining an area of the University of Georgia, unknowingly being an illegal immigrant.
From our friends at the news desk, straight out to Cheryl McCollum joining us. She and I investigated and covered the murder of Lake and Riley. The similarities are overwhelming. The comparison between what happened to Lake and at the hands of someone, a criminal, illegally in our country, who evades justice and goes on to kill, the similarities are overwhelming.
Nancy, to me, when you start saying the similarities are overwhelming, some of them are just gut-wrenching, and one of them is both cases have video. They have video of these victims. One is jogging, one is walking, minding their own business, going through their day like they would normally do, and this perpetrator comes up behind them and attacks them. They're just doing what they would do any other day, innocently, legally. And you have these folks that are in this country, number one, illegally. They should not have even been here. But now they're here illegally, doing something illegal. In both cases, sexual assault was what they were after. And they simply decided it's not enough to attack her. I'm going to get rid of the witness.
Joining us on the scene where Camellia's body was found, dragged into the bushes at the hands, according to police, of an illegal migrant. Dave Mack, you also joined us from the courthouse during the trial of Lake and Riley's killer. What happened?
You know, Nancy, one other thing that ties these two together. With Jose Ibarra, when they found these stuff in the trash dumpster, they were able to go back to his apartment where they found his illegal alien brother also living with him. Same thing happened here with Rivas, Hector Rivas. When the police went to the first address they had, he wasn't there. When they went to a second address they had, what did they have? Two other illegal aliens that they were supposed to have been deported already. So we've got both of those similarities where they're living with illegal alien or immigrants and are gathered up together at the same time. When Ibarra actually was convicted, you know, the one thing we never saw from him was any sign of just empathy or sympathy. There was nothing. It was like this void area in him. And I'm thinking we're going to see the same thing with this alleged killer.
When I woke up, it felt like it felt like a shadow. It also felt like profound. Like sadness, emptiness. Like, I just knew that there was something that, like, I think it's just mother's intuition. I just knew there was something that wasn't right, that there was something terribly wrong, but I didn't know what it was.
On May 20th, on what should have been Rachel's 38th birthday, and in a poetic coincidence, or perhaps in Rachel's own divine assistance, our investigators uncovered a lead that led us to this day. And on this day, I'm here to tell you, Rachel's murderer is no longer a free man.
Joining us on the scene where Camellia's body, a mother of five, was found is Dave Mack. Dave Mack, you and I also investigated the Rachel Morin murder, and it took a really long time to track her killer. And what finally caught him, as in this case, in P.S., Rachel Morin, a mother of five. You were just hearing her mother speaking to me here on Crime Stories, was video, Ring video, where Morin's killer had committed another crime in L.A., and they caught him leaving the home. He attacked a 9-year-old little girl and another woman in the home. Remember that? Remember that, Dave Mack?
It was shocking, Nancy, because that was out in California, and as we were researching the Rachel Morin case, because, you know, she's on a trail where she goes on a regular jog. I mean, this was like this is the most wholesome thing in the world. And this guy's an illegal alien who has already done a heinous crime on Southern California. Now he's totally across the nation under the radar and ends up where Rachel Morin is just out doing her daily jog. But he lays in wait. He's able to pick his victim. And when he gets into right where he, that's when he attacks. And it is another heinous, vicious, vile murder. And then we're left with, well, who could have done this and where is he? But there was the Ring doorbell video and there is DNA. The same thing is true here. We've got that Ring doorbell video and we actually are going to have enough evidence, Nancy, when everything is said and done, that we'll be able to tie these crimes to the alleged victim. The problem is that we don't seem to be stopping the problem at the border when we stop these individuals. We stop them, we give them a court date, they don't show up for the court date, and then here we are with another murder.
How many more mothers will have to live through what Jocelyn's mother has lived through? The men that lured Jocelyn to under a bridge and sex assaulted her and murdered her, two illegals originally from Venezuela. How will it end? When will it end? First of all, let's get justice for Camelia. If you know or think you know anything about the murder of this beautiful mom of five, Camelia, please dial 770-499-3945. Repeat, 770-499-3945. And now we remember an American hero, Corporal Scotty Canizero, Baton Rouge PD, killed in the line of duty along with Sergeant David Poirier, helicopter crash. Survived by wife Chelsea and son Ethan. American hero, Corporal Scotty Canizero. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.